and preaching of God's word.
Scripture today is Psalm 1 and 2. Be projected on the screen, and you can follow along in your bulletins as well. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in a congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You're my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the season of Eastertide. God, we thank you for the victory that you have won and secured for us through your resurrection. And we thank you that the time of celebration is here and it lasts. I pray, Lord, that as we go into your word, Lord, would you open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to behold and to hear the beauty of your Son, Jesus, our resurrected King, our victorious King. And Lord, may our hearts be stirred in affection and love for him. So would you glorify yourself today, and would you bless us through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I feel extra nervous today. I think it's because I had a whole cup of coffee before I came up here. Do you remember back in the day when people used to make cassette mixtapes? To be honest, I don't, because that was a couple years before my time. And don't get me wrong, cassettes and cassette players were around. I just didn't know any friends who like used them. My uncle and my grandma were really the only people I can remember that used and listened to cassettes. And I'm pretty sure they weren't making mixtapes for each other, and they weren't making them for me. I do, however, remember when people used to make mixtapes on CDs. And I, for one, really appreciated when my friends would make me these CD mixtapes. Partly because growing up, I had NetZero's free 56K dial-up internet for the longest time, and so it took me forever to download a single song. I remember the first time I tried to download a song off the internet, the estimated time remaining was something like 17 hours. And the only time I could download songs was at night when no one else was using the computer and the internet could stay connected and uninterrupted by phone calls. And so I would start to download, I would go to bed, and I'd wake up the next morning to see how many more megabytes I had left. And it would take me like 2 to 3 nights to download a single song. Now all I have to say is, "Hey Siri, play music." Let me make sure it's not actually playing music. More seriously, though, I appreciated these CD mixtapes because they introduced me to so many new songs and new bands. Growing up, one of my favorite bands was this band called Switchfoot, and it wasn't until one of my friends made me a CD and it had the songs, you know, Meant to Live and Dare You to Move, that I even heard of them or heard of these songs. Mixtapes, they're a serious business. And to some of my friends, it was an actual business. I remember people at school would pay one of my friends to create mixtapes for them because he was one of the first people to have fast internet and a CD burner. And they would send him a list of songs in the order that they wanted it to be burned, and he would go ahead and make it for them. But I say mixtapes are a serious business because they're more than just a simple playlist. Mixtapes take time and they take effort. It takes thought. There's a meaning behind them. Even the order of the songs matter. You're not supposed to just press shuffle and listen to them out of order or in any order that you want. The person creating the mixtape has an intention and purpose for what they put on it and how they arranged it. In some ways, the Book of Psalms is, and I mean this in the most respectful way, the Book of Psalms is the ultimate mixtape for God's people. Its track list includes 150 psalms written by a variety of God's Old Testament people. We have people like David and Asaph, the sons of Korah, even a psalm from Moses, and we have a bunch of other psalms that are written by anonymous writers as well. It's ordered and arranged in a very specific way. You may have noticed going through the Book of Psalms that there are five smaller books within it. And each of these books ends with this blessing of the Lord God of Israel. And if you look at the last five chapters of the Book of Psalms, you'll see that each of them ends with this phrase, "Praise the Lord." As you read through this book, what you see is that these psalms were not just randomly put together or randomly arranged, but they were put together with a purpose and with an intention. You'll also find different genres within the psalms. You find psalms of praise and deliverance, psalms of thanksgiving and lament, psalms of confidence and remembrance and wisdom. And lastly, the Book of Psalms has an intended audience. It's meant for the people of God in their worship of God. During the season of Eastertide, from now until Pentecost Sunday, we'll be going through various parts of this book, the Book of Psalms. And we only have about 6-7 weeks, but I hope within that time we'll grow a deeper understanding and appreciation for it, or at the very least that it will spark our interest for it. And I'm hopeful and I'm confident that it will, because unlike many of the other Old Testament books, one of the amazing things about the Psalms is how readily accessible and applicable and relatable it is to us, despite the fact that it was written thousands of years ago. And a big part of that is because the Psalms are like a mirror to the soul. The reformer John Calvin, he says this about the Psalms. He says, "What various and resplendent riches are contained in this treasury, it were difficult to find words to describe. I have been wont to call this book, not inappropriately, an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. For there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror." So for those who are downcast, may you find hope and encouragement in the songs of those who have also experienced hardship. For those who are confused or disoriented or just struggling to describe what you're feeling or going through, may you find expression and words through these songs. For those who are happy and joyful, may your joy be multiplied and elevated as you share and echo in these songs of praise. For whenever you are or wherever you are in life, these psalms are for you. And so with that, we begin our series today from the beginning, from Psalms 1 and 2. Psalms 1 and 2 serve as a two-part introduction to the rest of the book. They prepare and orient the reader as to how they should understand and how they should approach this collection of songs. And it does so by contrasting two ways of life, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. Psalm 1 contrasts these two ways in relation to God's law or his word. And Psalm 2 contrasts these two ways in relation to God's son. But both of these psalms together call God's people to live according to the way of the righteous and to sing these songs as the righteous people of God. And in doing so, they'll find themselves blessed, which is the word that starts the first line of Psalm 1 and the last line of Psalm 2, serving as bookends to this two-part introduction. And so in today's sermon, we'll be looking at this two-part introduction, and we're going to go through it in 3 points. First, the word of God. second, the Son of God, and third, the songs of God's people. So first, the Word of God, the Son of God, and the songs of God's people. We'll begin with the Word of God. Psalm 1 points the reader to the significance of the book of Psalms as the source of God's instruction to us. It not only reflects the kinds of thoughts and feelings that we have, but it also instructs us in the kinds of feelings that we should have. The Psalms are an instruction manual on praising God, on how to praise Him, on how to plead with Him, and on how to follow the way of godliness and blessing. And Psalm 1 teaches the reader what the way of blessing looks like by the use of contrast. Earlier in the year during our annual church retreat, we played this icebreaker called "There are two types of people in the world." And if you were there at the retreat, you know that in this game we projected two pictures depicting two ways that people can go about living in this world. And depending on which picture you related to, you stood on one side of the room or the other. So for example, there are those who just set one alarm for the morning, and then there are those who need to set five. There are those who squeeze their toothpaste from the bottom, and then there are those who just squeeze it from the middle. Psalms 1 and 2 present two ways that people can go about living. In the way of the righteous, which leads to blessing, or in the way of the wicked, which leads to destruction. And here in the beginning of Psalm 1, we begin to see this contrast between them. And it begins in the negative, with what the way to blessedness does not look like. And the blessed do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor do they stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Instead, they delight in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night. Rather than turning to the counsel of the wicked, the blessed find their delight in God's law, in the law of the Lord. The word for law here is Torah, which would typically bring to mind the first five books of the Old Testament. But here, the law, the Torah, is much broader than that. It means all of God's instruction, all of His word, and that even includes the Psalms. In fact, some scholars believe that the reason why the Psalms are structured into these five smaller books is so that it mirrors the five books of the Torah. And it's to make this point that the Psalms are also the law of the Lord. And as the law of the Lord, the readers then are expected to follow and to obey what it commands and what it instructs. Psalm 1 wants its readers to be aware of this fact as they read through the rest of this book. But the blessed are not just those who are obedient to this law. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Psalm 1 says that they delight in it. Now, truth be told, when I think of the word law, it's rare to also think of the word delight. Yet here it says that the blessed one delights in the law of the Lord. And so we have to ask why. Why does he delight? What is his secret? Well, his secret is in the blessing. We see that the one who delights in the law and the one who meditates on it is compared to a tree that's planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The way of the righteous, the way of the one who was blessed, which is obedience to the law of the Lord, leads to blessing of life and fruitfulness. Contrast this to the way of the wicked and what they receive. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. They will not stand in the judgment, nor will they stand in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1 is highlighting the special place that God's law, His instruction, His word has in the lives of His people, and the blessing that comes from obeying and following it. And as we continue to read through the Psalms, we see that this theme of obeying the law, of following and delighting in the law of the Lord, continues to be highlighted. For example, Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Psalms, is this monumental hymn of thanksgiving to God's law, because it leads to blessing, because it leads to life, because it leads to fruitful living. And because of this delight, then, it's no wonder that the righteous meditates on it day and night. See, the law of the Lord is not something that you just obey once, but it's a lifelong posture of obedience. The law of the Lord is not something that you can chug down in one go, but it's meant to be chewed and digested in order to really get the riches and beauty out of it. It's kind of like if Willy Wonka was able to perfect his three-course gum. If you remember the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka has this gum that changes flavor as the person continues to chew it. It goes from tomato soup to roast beef and potatoes, and then ends with blueberry pie and ice cream. As the people of God meditate on the Word of God, as they chew on it, as they ingest it, as they digest it, day and night, they will find themselves experiencing the delight and the wonder of something amazing and life-giving. And so with this, Psalm 1 again highlights the blessing that is God's Word. And the readers, us, are to keep in mind, keep this in mind as we continue to read His Word through the Psalms. Next, the Son of God. In Psalm 2, the contrast between the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked continue. Verses 1 through 3 says this: "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" Whereas in Psalm 1, we saw the righteous meditating on the law of the Lord, here we see the wicked nations meditating to overthrow that law by rebelling against the Lord and His anointed. And I say meditating because that's literally what it says. The same Hebrew word that's used for meditating in Psalm 1 is the same word that's used for plotting in Psalm 2. That the peoples plotted against the Lord and His anointed one. That they meditated not on His word, not in obedience, but to overthrow His law and to go against Him. Now here we need to ask then, who is this anointed one? Who is this one that the nations plot against? Well, before the exile, the readers would have understood him to be the kings of Israel or Judah. Though the kings were desired out of Israel's lack of trust in God, God allowed and appointed these kings for leadership and responsibilities, and the people were to look to this king for hope. But oftentimes these kings were anything but righteous and responsible. Rather than leading their people to trust in God, they were like the kings and rulers of these nations who plotted against God and against His law. This eventually leads to exile. And during that time, the readers would have understood this psalm pointing to a future king who would come and to restore their kingdom, who would deliver them and bring victory over their enemies. Ultimately, however, the failure of kings past and the waiting and expectation and hope of a future king leads the readers to the one true anointed. As we continue to read the rest of Psalm 2, we begin to see echoes of God's covenant with David, that He will establish His throne forever, that He will establish His kingdom forever. And so when we read anointed one, we are being introduced to a king. We are being introduced to a king in the line of David. And what we find in this king is unlike any other earthly king. He is the anointed one, literally translated the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he is being shown here in Psalm 2 as the central character of the entire book of the Psalms. And the way that we see this is the way in which he fulfills this psalm. We see the fulfillment of verse 7 when Jesus is baptized. The Spirit of God descends upon him, and the voice of our Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." And we see the fulfillment of verse 8, ultimately in the Great Commission, when Jesus tells his disciples to go to the nations and baptize them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Upon the basis of his authority as the Anointed One, the Messianic King, the Son of God, Jesus sends out his followers, his disciples, his people to bring all the nations into blessing and relationship with him as they are instructed in all that he commanded them, in all the law, in all the Torah, in all the Word of God. And so we come to the second blessing. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Just as Psalm 1 wants the reader to bear in mind the blessing of the Word of God, Psalm 2 wants the reader to bear in mind the blessing of the Word of God made flesh, the central character of all the Psalms, the one who proves himself stronger and mightier than any earthly king or nation or ruler, the one to whom all authority has been given, the one who is worthy of all the praises of these Psalms, the one in whom we can find refuge. And this brings us to our last point, the songs of God's people. As we go through our series in the book of Psalms, my hope is that we keep these book-ended blessings found in Psalms 1 and 2 in our minds. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. And blessed are all who take refuge in the Anointed One, the Messiah King who has ultimately fulfilled the law, who instructs us in that law, and by his Spirit empowers us now to keep that law. As we close, I just want to suggest two simple ways in which we can pursue these blessings. The first is to sing the Psalms. And it seems like a pretty obvious application. The Psalms, after all, are a songbook that's meant to be sung. And the good news is that we do this already. Every Sunday that we gather, we sing. We sing together. And many of the songs that we sing are based off of the Psalms. Songs like Blessed Be Your Name by Matt Redman is based off of Psalm 9. Or Indescribable by Chris Tomlin, based off of Psalm 95 and 147. But we shouldn't stop there. The Psalms were not just meant for public corporate worship, but also for private devotion, meaning that it can and it should extend beyond our Sunday morning worship services and into our everyday lives. And so one resource that's been really helpful for me in this area has been through listening to Shane and Shane's Psalm albums. If you don't know who Shane and Shane are, they're a pair of worship leaders, and we sing some of their songs here at City Lime. But they have two albums, two volumes of songs that are based off of the Psalms. And I would encourage you to check it out, either Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube. And if during our series we happen to go through a psalm that also happens to be on their album, use it. Use it to accompany your meditation. And this brings me to my next application, is to pray the Psalms. As much as the Psalms are a songbook, they are also a prayer book. In a way, the Psalms are prayers that have just been shaped into songs. And praying the Psalms doesn't have to be done in any special way. In his book, Answering God, the pastor Eugene Peterson says this about praying the Psalms. He says, the practice of Christians in praying the Psalms is straightforward. Simply pray the Psalms, psalm by psalm, regularly. That's it. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms and pray them sequentially, regularly, faithfully across a lifetime. This is how most Christians, for most of the Christian centuries, have matured in prayer. Nothing fancy, just do it. The praying itself is deliberate and leisurely, letting the motions of the heart come into harmony with the movements of the lip. Letting the motions of the heart come into harmony with the movements of the lips. As we go through a psalm each week during Eastertide, take that psalm and pray it throughout that week. Try to memorize it. Write it on an index card or on your notes app on your phone. Put it on a post-it or stick it on your mirror or your refrigerator and read it. meditate on it, chew on it, pray through it as you go throughout your day. And as you do so, may you be reminded of the goodness of God's word and its ability to bring hope and life and fruitfulness and the glory of his Son, the one in whom we can take refuge. May we delight in the law of the Lord and take refuge in the Lord of the law. On that note, let's pray together. Father, in these two psalms, you present us blessings. And you present us two ways of life, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, the way that brings to life and fruitfulness, and the way that leads to destruction. Lord, when we look at these things, we know that oftentimes we are not like the righteous. Lord, that we do not delight in your law nor meditate on it. But we are more often like the nations and the kings who reject your law, who want to be free of it, who say to one another, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords because we think we know better or because we think life is found somewhere else. Father, would you bring us to a place of humility? Lord, as we go through this book of Psalms, Lord, may we be reminded of our Savior who died so that we might be those who are righteous, those who can find ourselves singing these songs, those who can consider ourselves blessed because of your Son, Jesus, the one who ultimately sang these songs and fulfilled them. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing that we have through your word. We thank you that in it we find life. And we thank you for the hope that we have in your Son, who fulfills the law, who instructs us in it, and by his Spirit enables us and empowers us to keep it. Lord, so that we may find more and more and learn more and more about the beauty and the wonders of your grace and your love for us. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we pray all these things in Christ's name.